You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wells Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
I can't say enough about Guy, and you know what a great, great servant of God he is, serving God, humble, and what a good friend. I mean, we've had a great time this week, just trying to out-preach each other. So I don't know who won, but anyway. We just had a big time, and we're just honored to have him here with us. His wife, Angie, is, of course, down there overseeing things, and, of course, Dakota and Julissa are there, and he's been contacting them back and forth, you know, on his iPad, which he keeps putting in front of me, trying to make me jealous. But I'm going to get the iPad, too. And when I do, I'm going to Skype him, you know, over the Internet and show him, you know, the pictures of... But anyway, let's give him a big warm welcome as he comes to minister to us. He's going to minister and also share about the ministry. Guy Henry, come on.
Well, I don't know about out-preaching. Who can out-preach your pastor? That was a losing battle from the get-go. Amen. But praise God, it got me an opportunity to play with the big leagues. Amen. So that was, you know... Some of us, that's all we get, you know, just one game with the big league. So I had an opportunity to jostle a little bit with your pastor. How many love your pastor?
Yes. Amen. Amen.
How many knows that what you say is true? We can change. We can change this community. We can change this nation. Amen. And we can do so by starting right now. I'm going to have you all stand. And just want you to know that everyone in Honduras in our ministry is praying for you today. And they have you in their hearts, as we have them in ours. I'm going to ask you to do something different today, because I know, according to Pastor, this is not a religious church. However, we have some traditions. And so we're going to stretch out a little bit of both those. If there is an empty seat in front of you, I would like you to fill it. Simple instructions, I believe. If there is an empty seat in front of you, step out, and I'm going to have you fill it. If there's not an empty seat in front of you, you're good to go. All right? So there's a reason for doing this.
You know, I've never seen this work. I just want to stand up here a minute.
It's still a work in progress.
Yeah, this is good.
Amen. All right? And this way, I understand we're filming this, and wherever this goes, it looks like there was a lot of people here. And... not only that, if we are going to change our community, if we're going to change our nation, we must first change.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Amen? Amen? And so the culture that we have around us is only going to change when we change that culture.
That's good.
So this is just a kind of an example. Now, some of us are only a tad rebellious. Or maybe that's not the word. That's a little strong. Forgive me. Pastor knows I'm working with my English. You know, it's only been a week. And so I'm trying to get the words right.
Wow.
Not rebellious, but, you know, we're just, some of us are a little less prone to change.
Yeah.
Come on. And when Jesus came, how many know he changed everything? And, of course, we're not quite there yet where Jesus set the example. But that's what we want to do.
Yeah.
And he rustled, how do you say down here, ruffled a few feathers.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to learn some of your languages. Not just English. I'm trying to learn Texas. South and even better yet, Texas.
Rub
the cat the wrong way. Jesus rubbed the cat the wrong way everywhere he went. You know, and I mean, we look at Jesus as Jesus, but I mean, he was a man tempted like we are, and he, everywhere he went, he just messed everybody up.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm giving you permission to mess everybody up.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, of course, Pastor can come next week and undo all that. That's the beauty of being the pastor. Amen. Take your seats if you would. I want to be a good steward of our time this morning, because there's a couple things that we hope to do. To be able to bless you with the word, and yet at the same time kind of bring in a little bit of a report and tie these things in together. So what I'm going to do is, if you'll let me, I'm just going to kind of read a few of the statements that I have written. And then if I do that, and I kind of hold this real well, and I won't preach those statements, then we'll be able to kind of get into the points a little bit. You start seeing me wander around a little bit, kind of go like that. Practice, go like that. Oh, okay. That'll get me back over here so we can stay on point. All right? Because I believe, and it was kind of interesting this morning praying, and I'm actually nervous. There's usually only one of two reasons I get nervous. One, because there's a better preacher in the audience. Yeah, we got that one. Number two, because I believe God wants to do something.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I don't know that we're going to have like this, you know, wild, crazy, you know, some... Hey, we might. I mean, I'm open. We may have to cancel the rest of the week because God wants to do something. We can do that. But sometimes God can do things in a moment when we're in tune, much faster and much longer lasting than even He can in a long-lasting meeting. And so however He wants to do it, I just sense this. So I believe there's going to be somebody particularly changed. And I'd like to hear that report through your pastor or what, because that's what I sense. And so that's why I want to do, you know, this right here. Amen. For the next few moments. I believe as the church, God has called us to create the culture. You know, He's given us a life and we need to put that life into action. And as we do, I believe that is we've been given the power to create. We're created in God's image. And so we want to change our communities because by and large, they're ungodly. We want to change our nation. And I believe we can change the world as we begin to look at the culture that we have in our family, look at the culture that we have in our church, look at the culture that we have in our communities. I mean, and begin to adapt the cultures of this world's systems to fit in line in with the culture of God's kingdom. We can talk about God's kingdom, and because of the world's systems and ways of thinking, we've tended to put that culture of God's kingdom off in the future. It's really not meant to be in the future because, you know what, it's going to be a lot easier when we go into the future. I mean, eternity is going to play out a little bit easier. So we need that culture of God's kingdom today, as Pastor's been saying. Jesus is Lord of lords. So who's the lords? That's us. We have to be those governors. We have to be those priests and princes. I had to get back. Words bounce off my mind in Spanish. At least I'm catching them and not saying them today. But see, culture's everywhere you go. Yeah, I got a problem with that. Pastor had me put the suit on today. How's that? You get a picture to prove that? Yeah. Because it's coming off in about an hour. Praise God. We can edit all that stuff out, right? But culture is everywhere you go. This area has culture. This area has subcultures. I've been watching. I've been taking note in the few days that I've been here. There's several subcultures within this area. I mean, you might have a tendency to think, well, this is Will's Point. This is kind of our area. You know, we're Texas and this is... No, I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of subcultures. When you start looking at the different economical statuses, the youth, come on, and the things that are penetrating into the church from the world, come on, while we're supposed to be penetrating into the world from the church.
Amen.
And so your family has a culture. I've been noticing in our last visits, your pastor's family has a culture. They're, you know, there's a lot of communication. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so we've talked about divorce. So we know it's a real deal. And it happens, and we go through all that. But see, that's established a culture.
Yeah.
Now something, in order for that culture to change, we have to change. We have to determine to do something. Are you with me? So what is culture? Beliefs. Values. Customs. Now see, I like what Pastor says, that we have some traditions that we still believe have purpose. As long as they have purpose, it's a good tradition. But see, tradition or customs are part of the culture that we are living in and or creating. Are you with me? How about any of these beliefs, values, customs, or manners of a group of persons? Now, when you study that out, it really means community. Culture is community. Your family is a community. The local church then has a community. We are part of a community. Those communities make up a community. Come on. And so we are really supposed to be, just give me 1 second, apart from the world's community, so that we can literally demonstrate the kingdom's community.
Wow. That's good.
You know, just a question, not for an answer, but why is it not raining? Maybe the church needs to walk in the culture of God's kingdom and just make it so. Just a challenge. I mean, I believe we can do that. But you see, we've been taught, well, it's, you know, all these things are like this and the elements, and that's just the way it is. As long as we accept the things the way they are, they will always be that way.
Praise God.
But if we choose it, well, wait a minute. This thing in the Bible says I can do all things and I have authority over the principalities. Where did the church get the idea that we're not to be involved in community? I believe we have a call of God to tend the garden.
Amen.
Come on. We are to rule. We are to have dominion over the garden. Come on. The Bible says we are to keep it. Have charge. Protect. Preserve. And to celebrate. I mean, this is our garden.
Yes.
And we've allowed, if you will, you know, world systems, those cultures to dictate, well, things are this way now, but I mean, you know, we're in the 21st century and that's the way it is. You know, we're in the end times. I believe that, but we've been in the end times for a long time. I don't know how much longer. Hello?
Amen.
So if we're over here, I don't want to get too far out. Into the culture of the kingdom of God, see, we can start having charge, protect, defend, and keep, and to celebrate the garden that God has given us. See, we don't need to rule with religion and traditions that have no effect. We need to create the culture that lives the kingdom of God. Are you okay? Now, what we are trying to do in Arbor de Vida, the tree of life, is we call it life in action. Creating culture through life in action. Culture has been established everywhere, and we will either change that culture or we are going to adapt to it. Has anyone ever moved from one community to another or one state to another or whatever? How many knows that after a while you tend to kind of fit into that culture? You know, when we went to Honduras, it was kind of like everything was foreign. The language, the food, the climate, the everything. Well, that's home to me now. Are you with me? In some of the cultures we've adapted to. Others, because there, you know, there are some traditions that are okay. All right, so I can adapt to eating beans in the morning for breakfast with my eggs. I like that culture now. Está muy bueno. Okay, but are you okay so far?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to get back over here. So we're either going to change the culture or we're going to adapt it. The words that we use, the passion that we use to share our vision. We're about empowering people with the good news of Jesus Christ so they, not me, see, where's the passion? We are about empowering. See, there's a when you're really into, you know, let's say the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah.
How's the passion? I mean, when that ref made that stupid call, you came out of your chair. There was a passion. And yet, somebody said we cannot pray in school. Where's your passion? Says who?
Yeah.
Bless God, I'll pray in school if I want to.
That's right, yes.
Yes.
See, that law subsides, I'll make up some along the way, the rule of God. In other words, the rule of God supersedes.
Yes.
Are you all right? Yeah. The values you display in your job, How do you display your values? How you let them come out in your job? How about in your play? I know I like to play some basketball. And every once in a while, when the competition's really tight, some of my values may display. And those are the moments that you truly know what you value. Is it the game? Is it the winning? Or is it the fellowship? Is it the exercise? Come on.
Amen.
See, those values will come out. When the say this with me. Those values will come out when the pressure is on. One more time. Those values will come out when the pressure is on. Read this quote the other day. If vain our toil, we ought to blame the culture, not the soil. Now you know why I picked that up. It was kind of, we were studying together. Well, not together, but in the same place at the same time when I picked this up. If vain our toil, we ought to blame the culture, not the soil. So we can't blame where we live. We can't blame the economy. Because we're supposed to be living in a different economy. Now, the culture that we are trying to, or that we are establishing, better said, in Plan Escalon, the campus where we have, young people from 12 to 20, ages 12 to 20, this is with purpose. Because by design or default, we're creating our culture. By design or by default. I mean, we just adapt or we're changing. We want to change, we want to form, we want to declare humility and service. Passion and praise. It's because everything we do should be a praise unto the Lord.
Yes.
So everything we do, we should have a passion for. We need to be authentic in our actions. Well, I tell you, the church really just needs to be a little more authentic in the day that we live in. We need to be relevant to the needs of the present day.
Yes, we do.
We have to be relevant to today. We have to be abundant in our thinking.
Yeah.
Come on, not like, well, I don't know. I don't really have enough money. Maybe we need to be abundant in our thinking and say, well, I don't have enough faith yet. That's a different message. We need to be compassionate for the needy, those that have needs around us. We know what we need. We have that list. But a lot of times if we will find a way to meet and see and meet the needs of others, our needs just kind of have a tendency of just being met. And that's the principle of God's kingdom. Let me read you a little story until my little alarm goes off. In Jeremiah chapter 18, talking about culture, and then I want to talk about pressure. God said in verse 2, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my voice." Real quick message. Every once in a while, God's got to kind of move us out of what we're always looking at so we can see what's around us. Go over there. I can, how many knows, well, bless God, if he's going to speak to me, he can speak to me here. Now, he might want to move you over there so you can get out of that situation for a minute and go look at something else.
Praise God.
Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. Come on. So the potter quit the church and went back to the world. So the potter said, "That's it. I'm not going to be a potter anymore. I'm going to be a mason." Are we all right? How many knows things don't always go as planned? Hello?
Amen.
Now the potter was supposedly the pro. Professional. Are you with me? How many knows the potter knows what he's doing? And even still, it didn't go as planned. Not everything goes according to plan. Are you all right? So when we make a plan, we need to be able to plan to adjust. So it didn't go as well. So what? I mean, my question today is: what is the culture we're creating with what we have in our hands? We can't complain about not having that clay. That's not the clay that we've been given. We've got this clay, and it's not forming right. It's not happening. So what do we do? Chuck it? No. What does it say he did? So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to Him. See, we need to just keep working with it. Sometimes it doesn't come out right the first time. You might have wanted a pot with a little special handle like this. That little handle didn't work out. But you need a handle. A handle's a handle. So we just form it a little bit different. Come on, are you with me?
Yeah.
So we get so locked in that this is the way I want it. Well, you know, too bad, too sad. But that doesn't mean we're out of the race. It doesn't mean we can rebuild it. I mean, the church isn't working out exactly maybe like you thought it would, but we can rebuild it. See, because we have the power to create. But we have to take it outside of this and put it into our life and what we're doing. Are you with me? So, too often, however, we run into that pressure. I need our smaller of the two gentlemen to come first. The smaller of the two. Is there one that is smaller than the other? That's not the smaller, that's the bigger. You're coming next, bro. Hang on. Bobby, what was the other one? This is Ted. All right, just going to show you something. Take a seat right there, young man. Little fella. How many knows that in life, we run into some pressures? Hello? How many's ever said this? And I, from now on, I want you to never say it again. How many has ever said, I've been so stressed out?
I'm so stressed out.
Have you ever said that? Listen, I did a little study on some physics. And yeah, you're right there. Just do your thing. Whatever you do, don't let me get past you. Okay. If you think you can. Stress is an internal fracture. I'm going to talk about pressure. While pressure is applied to our exterior that ultimately only proves us. That's the end of the story. Do we have to quit there? Real quick. But stress is an internal fracture. Now, when a piece of metal is stressed, it is only going to be good until it breaks because it's done. See, we don't need to worry about stress. What we need to do is deal with the pressure. Pressure, on the other hand, is necessary. Say that. Pressure is necessary.
Pressure is necessary.
Because without it, if there was no atmospheric pressure, we'd explode.
That's right. Yeah.
We go up, there's where there's less pressure. Pressure has to be equalized. Come on, so we don't collapse. I'm sorry, so we don't explode. When we go deep into the sea, we have to have pressure that equalizes us internally so that we don't explode. Come on. When we run into pressure in our life, how many's ever just kind of going along, wow, this is cool. God is good. And all of a sudden it just, pressure hits us. Well, bless God. We just take a step back. What we need is some equalization on our inside.
Yes, sir.
Come on. Because if we don't, what's going to happen is, in time, pressure is going to relocate.
Right. That's right.
Oh, wait a minute. Last time I... But now I'm... You have to catch this fast because time is limited. Are you all right? What we need to do is we need to equalize our internal pressure. If we're going to create the culture that we need to see, we need to equalize our pressure. See, we have just enough internal pressure. You're me now. He called me the mini me. But you see, we've got the misconception that we have to be the Terminator. We have to be, come on, the Bruce Willis or all the whatevers. Where, you know, we just take bullets and keep going. But all we really need is just enough more, just enough, you got it, more of internal pressure. See, I don't have to be super mega missionary pastor, whatever. I got to have enough internal pressure to deal with the external pressure. And I promise you, we're going to move forward.
Amen.
Come on. Now, don't be deceived. I don't know if there's anybody bigger than you here. Probably not. But the enemy's not just going to give up. Oh, shoot. The church is moving. No. Once we get on down the road, then The pressure will get bigger.
Amen.
But it's not the end of the road. We don't have to back up. Pressure a lot of times causes us to want to back up. And when we get backed up, it might feel comfortable for the moment because we're not up against that pressure. But we're not creating anything. Come on. We need to keep plunging forward. We need to build this up so that now we can go forward again. Thank you, guys. You all right? We get so, a lot of times, caught up into the status quo, which has the tendency of sustaining itself. Study status quo. Status quo is this thing that sustains. It's always been that way. It's the same old. Are you with me? But listen, by wanting to change your culture without a determined action will result in a slow death. This church is not called to live in the status quo. You're called to reach out. You're called to reach out. Your growth comes from reaching out by creating the culture. Are you with me? In Escalon, that's what we want to do. We want to form the lives of these young men and women so they can be the creators of the culture of God's kingdom in Honduras, what the world says is the second poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere. What the world says, one of the most corrupt nations on the planet. That's what they're actually saying that about Honduras. But I say no. I say our young people is going to create a new culture. We're going to change that nation because God has called us to do that. We're pulling. Right now we have about 550 young men and women on our campus of a little mini city there. But we're pulling these youth from different places and pulling them out of an endless cycle of hopelessness, poverty, abuse. But we're planting them not in a school, not in a boarding school. We're planting them in a new culture so they can learn to live in that culture where there is love, where there is hope, where there is vision, where there is a tomorrow, where there is an eternity. Come on. And they're the ones that can do it. That's what we have to believe. Just recently, well, over the last 2 years, we've done a couple of surveys with our graduates. We've attempted to pull together as many alumni. Part of my vision right now is to extend and go back and reach everyone who's ever gone through Plan Escalon, whether they've graduated or not, so we can build a tighter, stronger network. We did a survey. So far in our surveys, consecutively 2 years, upon graduation, 70% of our graduates received full-time employment. This is in a nation where there's between 70 and 75% unemployment. We have about 70% of our graduates that have full-time employment. That's not to say the other ones are not working, different situations, but I mean full-time employment. 47% of our graduates go on and are accepted into different institutions of higher education. 47%. Is that a big deal? It is when the statistic in Honduras is 1.5% of graduates go on to higher education. Are you with me? Yeah. Our Life in Action outreach, and we'll see a video on it a little bit, is training our residents, if you will, our students, to reach out in the communities and give back what they've received, that hope, that vision, that understanding of who they are. It changes their perspectives on what is important in life and what is important to Jesus. It displays through putting them in that action how they can become community leaders. And that's why we have 50 churches right now. We don't have just 50 churches. We have 50 communities in which we're having an impact. We're influencing their culture because we keep taking our residents, our students, back and feeding and helping and serving and I mean preaching the word, showing them the kingdom, showing them love. Are you with me? We have those 50 churches, but it's not just a matter of 50 churches. Through our Life in Action, and we're using our staff, the ones that we have on our staff, as ministers as well. And each week they take my outlines, what they've heard, and they're going out into all of the different churches and all of our students throughout the week, and that's what they're preaching. Not to be, dominant, but rather to be in unity, connected, saying the same thing, sharing the same vision, so that the churches in these remote areas, listen to what's happening. We're impacting communities, but the churches in these communities now are thinking about life in action. They're starting to think about, hey, we could change our culture.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Amen. And we know that, you know, there are a lot of things in this world and in this life that are pulling for your finances. But if I may just speak real frankly, we need advocates, other team members, such as you, to join us and even more. Believe in us. Believe with us. We believe that Tree of Life Ministries is good soil. And there's a lot of ways that you can help. I just feel like I really want to share this before we show the video. Just to broaden, not to be specific, but to broaden your thinking. Because a lot of times we get stuck into, well, you know, I don't have $100 a month that I can support missions. But there's a lot of ways and a lot of things. For example, things that have happened or similar, or things that could happen. Like right now, we need a new truck, 4x4 truck, in order to continue reaching out. We're actually down two trucks. We had to sell one to pay for a situation. If you've been following on Facebook, know a little bit about that. That situation, praise God, is behind us. But, you know, we need to replace that one and ultimately get two of them so we can continue that work. Because we do this on a daily basis, reaching out. Some of the things you'll see on the video. We need monitors for our sound system. We need a bass guitar and amp, which is about done. The music minister, music teacher from our school asked me to see if I could raise $500 for high school band equipment. You could think of sponsoring a pastor a month. I'm one of these pastors. Sponsor our Feed the Children Life in Action portion, in which right now we're feeding 200 children every week because they're just basically living on the streets with nothing much to eat. Sometimes they literally eat the dirt to fill their stomachs, filled with parasites. So that's one of our outreaches, taking life. We take deparasite medication to the different places. You might want to get involved in that. Sponsor the containers. We send containers down as many times a year as we can, you know, 40-foot semi-trailers. It's about $5,000 for shipping. But, I mean, we just, you know, anything everyone can ever dream or imagine, you know, we can use it. You might want to sponsor something like that. Your imagination, really, is the limit.
Yeah, that's right.
We want you to hook up with us in a sense of, you know, check our website once in a while, check with Pastor what's going on. We try to do as much as we can to stay in touch. Follow us on Facebook, just so that you can see and be part. We don't want just sponsors. We want advocates. We want team members. We want people that will be with us. But I believe that all of these are just opportunities for us to ultimately create the culture that God has called us to create. The culture in this area may be different, and the kingdom of God may be represented in a different way in Wills Point, Texas, than in Detroit, Michigan. But that's okay, because in the body, we have different members, different functions. But when we all work together, we begin to reach these areas. We begin to extend ourselves. I believe this nation can very quickly could be turned around, and we could reach the world.
Yes.
Amen?